You can't replace part of the brain. Like, you
treat them the same.
The source of truth for the medtech industry.
Coexists with the
robot. Robot understands things automatically.
Number one show in the medtech industry.
So Stryker got ahead of that and changed it. In the 90s, built a $1 billion company. It helped up high. A lot of things.
State of medtech.
With your host, Omar M. Khatib.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. I'm excited about this episode because this is regarding a report that I was aware of, at least was being conducted. And this is a report that was published by Fierce Pharma, a great outlet, but presented by Clary. Clary actually funded this study, this survey to be done. It's about the state of sales in healthcare and life sciences. Now, they essentially surveyed about 106 plus executives across different job levels from executive and SVP down to the rep level, and also a variety of companies. So we have med device in here, biotech, pharma, essentially anybody who sells to a physician. And so in this report, I'm gonna share it in a moment on the screen. And so that way you can go through it together. While Clary is a sponsor of the show, which I'm gonna get to in a moment, I actually am looking at this report for the first time, and mainly because I wanted to react to it as I go through this with you guys. Now, Clary's been a longtime sponsor of the show. I'm a big fan of them, and there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, most sales organizations, when they mature, they invest in a CRM, and that usually is Salesforce. We all have an idea of what Salesforce is supposed to do, but then when you get Salesforce, you realize that it's just a CRM, and you have to enter data into it, and you end up spending a lot of time and money. The reps end up hating it because they're being forced to do data entry. And a lot of times that data entry is done, usually not the end of the day, it's done, end of the week when they're catching up. So the data is not good. And then sales leaders and marketing leaders end up fighting every quarter because the data is not really that clear. And then you're making decisions on bad data. So Clary really gets rid of all of that. Mainly because they focus on revenue intelligence and more specifically collaboration and governance, okay? And when it talks about revenue, collaboration, and governance, what I mean is that you have a way to objectively look at data that's clean and come together as an organization to understand how do you run revenue. So I'll just quickly plug a couple ways they do that. And again, if you are a company that's using Salesforce or considering getting Salesforce, I highly recommend Clary, which essentially is an add-on to your Salesforce. It plugs in, does many amazing things. That's why I partner with them. One of them is they automate data entry for the reps. So the moment you get Clary, all that data entry that you're trying to force the reps to do, it's automatically done. Okay, it's done. It's taken care of. That's number one. And the second thing is that they have different AI algorithms that essentially look at your data and start giving you insights as to like which deals are at risk, where in the pipeline you should focus budget, and so much more. Again, it's an amazing platform. I highly recommend you check it out. Just get a demo of anything. So you can go to clary.com. That's C-L-A-R-I.com. So C-L-A-R-I.com. Or check the show notes below. I'm also leaving a link to this report in the show notes below so you can go ahead and check it out. But that being said, let's dive into it. I'm going to sort of jump around a little bit. And let's discuss this report. So here we go. The state of sales in healthcare and life sciences. Content. So how sales teams are managing transformation, and then the key themes. So the top three priorities for sales leaders and more. Let's get into it. I'm going to jump through a little bit. Here are the things that let's start here. Key themes. So why are sales leaders, what are the top three priorities for sales leaders? So as we take a look at this, one is retaining and expanding accounts. The second thing is selling into new accounts and territories. And third is actually increasing sales productivity. So pretty interesting there. And the main thing is that I think it's kind of interesting, even though it's not statistically significant, but still, it's still interesting that there's an idea of around how do we retain and expand into new and existing accounts. I think there's a big focus there on utilization, whether you're in biotech or medtech, right? Things that are ranking a little bit lower, which is concerning for me, improve data accuracy and quality. That's towards the middle of the group. Improving forecast accuracy, adapting to hybrid or virtual selling is second from the bottom, and consolidating sales tools. So consolidating sales tools, okay, got it. Like not the most important thing. I'm pretty concerned as an industry that adapting to hybrid or virtual selling is not a concern because we have not adapted to it. And the second thing is improving forecasting accuracy. And the reason why I think this is ranking low for most sales leaders is that most sales leaders have not been expected to really forecast that well, right? Because just, you know, we just didn't have the data and the tools in the past. And so it was kind of a crapshoot, to be honest with you. So that's kind of interesting to me. It's an area of improvement, I think, for our industry. And again, this is part of the reason why I partnered with a company like Clary is because they're actually enabling us to do these things better. I think when it comes to commercial excellence, we have to get better as an industry. And that starts by using the tools that will actually get us there, right? Now, what's keeping sales leaders up at night? So when asked to choose the number one challenge faced by their sales organizations, leaders cited increased competition as number one at 18% and economic factors at 17%, which significantly impact conversion rates. Now, I totally agree. I can totally understand the economic factors, but there's not much you can do with that, right? I'm a big, you know, I try, if I'm going to lose sleep at night, I try and lose sleep over things that I have control over, right? The things you don't have control over, you're not going to, you can't do anything about it, right? So if we go through this list, we have increased competition, there's economic downturn and inflation, lack of sales efficiency. And again, when I look at these surveys, and again, I'm looking at this for the first time, so I'm sort of doing some color commentary here. I'm always interested is what's ranking the lowest, right? And so for this, again, like concerning for me, access to sales analytics is at the bottom. Managing shifting regulations. Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. But again, access to sales analytics and data quality. This is a symptom that we're seeing here, right? I don't know if the folks at Clary, I'm sure they notice this as well. But, you know, sales leaders in our industry are not very data savvy. I'll be honest with you. You don't need a degree in data science, but honestly, I think, you know, salespeople in general are qualitative, right? Marketing, which is why most CRMs are implemented and managed by the marketing department. Marketing is very analytical because the way we manage things is we do sales at scale. So we have to look at numbers, okay? But sales in our industry, especially capital, right? It's a lot more qualitative, right? You know the accounts, you know the surgeons, et cetera. And so I think that might be one of the reasons why that most sellers in our industry are not data-centric, but we have to be, right? As the great Peter Drucker always says, like, if it's not getting measured, it can't get managed. And again, like, I think that, you know, part of the reason why is that the quality of data that we get is just not that great. Sales leaders, and I've been in those meetings before, will get data from the CRM, look at it, and immediately say, like, that's actually not accurate. And then when they realize that the data that got put in there wasn't accurate to begin with, they just kind of throw it out and it's just, you know, it is what it is, right? But that's not an excuse for us not to find ways to improve on things, okay? So let's kind of keep going through this. So the majority of executives report that 20 to 40% of deals aren't closing. That's a huge number. 20 to 40% of deals are not closing, and almost one quarter of the executives reported much higher rates of non-conversion. By focusing on improving data quality, forecasting will become more accurate. So again, clearly that's a value prop for Clary. I agree with that. One of the, like, okay, let's imagine for a second, what is your typical quarterly national, you know, or, you know, quarterly sales meeting look like? It's like reporting the weather. You have a sales rep that goes up, reports on their deal, they present some qualitative metrics. Oh, I talked to this person, I talked to that person. We're going to have a meeting on this date. And they kind of pick an arbitrary number as to when they think that it's going to close, right? And most salespeople over-index on how likely something's going to close, right? And so then the forecasting is completely off. And again, I don't blame sales reps because the sales rep doesn't have any tool, right, that's going to actually give them objective data that they can look at and then make a better estimation as to when deals are going to close. So that number by itself, I mean, think about it like this. It's one thing when you're a private company. If you're a public company and 20 to 40% of your deals aren't closing and you're off, right, that's a big problem, right? You know, your stock price is going to plummet because most investors are not going to feel confident in your ability to put a number on the board and hit it, okay? So let's keep going. So what tactics are most important for improving sales outcomes? Okay, so four tactics that executives believe are most important for improving sales outcomes are collaboration across teams, so that's 67%, more accurate sales forecasting, 42%, and improved data quality and sales coaching, was tied at 38%. So, you know, that's really interesting that as they did the survey, right? Let's go back up. When they asked them, like, what are your top three priorities and what's keeping you up at night? Data ranked towards the bottom. But when it came to the solution, you know, say medical sales leaders were like, yeah, you know, we should probably, aside from collaborating across teams, we should have more accurate sales forecasting and better data, right? And again, one of the things that you need to successfully collaborate across teams is good, clean data. Because when you don't have data, now you're getting into subjective emotional debates as to what your opinion is over somebody else's opinion, right? And that's just not a good use of anybody's time. So let's see here. So 42% of executives believe more accurate sales forecasts are important for improving sales outcomes. Yeah, I agree with that. My question is, why isn't that number higher? Like, is it really true that, you know, only 42% of our sales leaders believe that forecasting are going to improve sales outcomes? You know, like, sales is the transaction, right? It's a process and it's a transaction. Being able to forecast when we can expect that to happen in itself will improve sales, right? So leaders, again, well, as I mentioned, I'm reading this for the first time. So leaders aren't confident in sales forecasts. So estimates of sales forecasts accuracy varied widely between executives, but it was generally very low. 32% believe their forecasts are 50 to 75% accurate. 27% believe their forecasts are 25 to 50% accurate. 12% rate their forecast accuracy at an abysmal 20% or less. So at the very best, right, the best case scenario, 32%, so like barely one third of sales leaders believe their forecasts are 50 to 75% accurate. Like, that's really bad. Okay, like, I want you to think about that, the compound interest on that. Like, 50 to 75% of your deals are accurate and only a third of your sales leaders believe that. It's a big problem. This is a big issue because sales, no matter, again, whether you're doing capital sales or you're selling little widgets, it's all about where you're going to spend your time, right? Which deals are more likely to close? And if you don't have objective measures or data that's being put into a system that allows you to look and say, hey, here is our pipeline, here are the deals we should focus on, here's why we should focus on them, right? It's really important, right? One of the things that I go through with a lot of the, you know, I work with a lot of startups and companies now, we build out their pipeline. We help them with prospecting and everything, essentially just getting deals, is I tell them, like, well, even if you have 10, 20, 30 salespeople, you also need to figure out, like, where are you going to put your focus on? Like, what deals are more likely to close in the next quarter or two versus things that are going to take a year? And I think a lot of sales leaders are still using subjective measures as to that. Like, look, I'll call myself out on this because I didn't have any good objective ways to measure the data. There are certain deals in the past I looked at that I was convinced were going to take over a year. They moved a lot faster. And there were other deals that, because it was like a regional hospital or something, I said, oh, that should close in a quarter. Took a lot longer, you know? Let's kind of keep going through here. So sellers want more time for sales, less time on data entry. Yeah, 110%. So 60% of their execs say that their reps are spending too much time on administrative tasks like entering data into the CRM systems. The reason why that's 60% is and not like 100% is I'm pretty sure the other 40% are either the people who like implemented the CRM and they just want their reps to be doing that, or they're just lying. You know, not a single, like, let's face it, not a single rep on planet Earth in any industry ever said, man, I crushed quota this quarter and I closed so many deals. Thank God for Salesforce. That's just not how it works. And Salesforce is a great tool, by the way, but it's not something that's going to help you sell more, right? What is going to help you sell more, in my opinion, is if you have clarity around the data and where you should put focus on. Because by nature, if you know where you need to focus your time on, which deals are at risk, where you should be spending your activity, that in sense will help you close the right deals in this quarter and hit that number. So instead of being off by 20 to 40%, maybe you're off by like 10% or 5%. But that's only going to happen if you have good, clean data, right? And a lot of that comes from the source of the data. The source of the data is the rep. If that's not fixed, doesn't matter what you're going to be doing on the back end and in-house, you're going to be making decisions off of bad data, right? Again, personally, this is one of the things, Clary acquired a company called Groove. They integrated them into their system. And I thought that was one of the smartest acquisitions because essentially Groove was the main thing that helps Clary automate all this data. So a lot of companies, a lot of medtech companies get started using Clary just by that one feature, which is automating the data entry, you know, getting all that data, you know, automated into our CRM. Okay. So 3 out of 4 execs report that sellers are spending up to 5 hours a week on these tasks. So 5 hours is a lot of time. Okay. So let's just break that down for a second. 5 hours a week. Okay. Which means if it's a working week, okay, it's 1 hour a day. Okay. Now in our industry, like our reps aren't just, they're not 100% just selling. They're covering cases. They're doing demos. They're doing a lot of things, right? And so 1 hour a day, that hour, I want you to imagine if you automated data entry, just that by itself, forget about revenue intelligence or anything else. You automate data going into the CRM, you get the reps 5 hours back, right? Those 5 hours can be spent on market development activities, helping their customers, prospecting. They're just like, there's a list of like 10 different things I can think of that's better spent for their, I mean, look, burnout is a real thing. Those five hours could be spent for the rep. Like, you know, maybe they can, that extra hour each day that they get back, they could spend it spending time with their family, maybe working out, getting some exercise in. Like those things do affect salespeople. I don't think enough conversations have been had about the fact that salespeople are just like athletes. They need recovery. They're not machines. They can't keep going and going and going, right? Although we want them to, you know. A commission study conducted by Forrester on behalf of Clary found that on average, revenue operations spent 90% less time on forecasting and related activities, and sales managers spent 80% less time, and sales reps spent 67% time. So the main point is that there's way too much time being spent on data entry and not data analysis, right? Because what a rep needs is not to enter the data. The rep needs to have data so that they can look at it and say, oh, wow, like based on these metrics, I'm focusing on the wrong deal. This deal needs to be put on the shelf for now. These are the deals I need to focus on. And that's where you can start recruiting. And this is where I think the magic of using automations and things like Clary comes to play, because then the sales rep can go to marketing and say, hey, based on the data, this is the deal that I need to focus on this quarter. Can I, you know, get some budget to do, let's say, some account-based marketing? Can we do like a lunch and learn event, right? What can we do to drive adoption and utilization of our technology in these accounts, right? Then it's more of a collaborative thing versus when I was ahead of marketing, you know, salespeople came and asked me all kinds of ridiculous things and they never had an objective reason behind it other than that, like, oh, it's just going to help me sell more. Let's see. So most leaders have enough time for coaching. So sales coaching happens regularly, typically on a weekly or monthly basis. And most executives believe they have enough time for sales coaching. 2 out of 3 executives either coach sellers or receive coaching themselves on a weekly or monthly basis. While there's enough time for sales coaching, better data and greater visibility would make coaching sessions more effective and lead to better forecasting. And I completely agree. Okay. And think of it like this. Most medical sales organizations, they're not recording their calls. Okay. So you're not sitting down and reviewing tape. And so like, what exactly are you coaching on? Right? What we need to get better about is coaching on deal management, okay, and pipeline management. So what do I mean by that? Well, things like pipeline velocity and deal velocity, right? So when you look at a deal, like on average, from first contact to, let's say, first meeting, then demo, and let's say presentation to the VAC committee, whatever the steps you have in your pipeline, what's that velocity look like? So if your average deal, I'm going to make this up, takes about 90 to 120 days from first touch to close, what levers do you have to pull to turn that 90 into 60, into 30? I mean, I ask myself this all the time with the companies that I work with. I live within the CRM of these companies. I look at deals all the time in pipelines. I ask myself, like, okay, well, look, what levers do we have to pull here? What activities do we have full control of that we can compress time and get these deals closed in a shorter amount of time? Okay, the only way that's going to happen is, again, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record here. Good, clean data, automating the data that goes into the CRM. Once that's in there, you have something that is able to pull that data in a dashboard, so you can look at it, and then you can make those decisions. Otherwise, you're making uninformed decisions based off of like subjective opinion and like literally reporting the weather. Let's go forward. Okay, so investments in AI and data automation tools will drive productivity. So one out of four executives reported that their sales organizations are currently using AI and or data. Okay, that's really bad. It's 2024. Look, I'm a small business. I use AI in my own business. Okay, like I use it for SOPs. I use it for automations, for all kinds of things. One in four execs says that their sales organizations are using AI. And it's really bad, right? It's really bad. So within the next 3 years, 67% of executives expect AI or automation sales technology to be implemented to drive data action and sales productivity. A commission study conducted by Forrester on behalf of Clari shows that the Clari platform significantly reduces revenue leak, which is the loss of earned revenue that has not been collected due to breakdowns in the revenue collection process, such as deal slippage, inaccurate billing, error-prone manual processes, bad data, unbilled services, human error. The platform helped customers. And by the way, what I'm about to read here next is one of the reasons, like, I actually found out about Clari through something similar. It wasn't this exact number, but so Clari's platform helped customers save about 40% more committed revenue, which is about $9.6 billion after they use the platform for over a year. This is the one thing that we don't think about a lot when it comes to sales. And this is going to affect the commissions, right? If you don't have automation of data, you don't have AI to manage these processes, and we're not selling widgets in our industry. These are really complicated things, right? You're going to have things slip through the crack. And so that's not only going to affect, again, your ability to forecast, et cetera, it can have an effect on commissions. And I've heard of companies where they had this issue. Now, the last part of this, we're on the last page, which is a fascinating one, which is most sellers have adopted a hybrid sales model, okay? So Clari was curious to find out how sales reps interacting with doctors, you know, now that COVID restrictions have loosened. And so 83% are using a hybrid approach, while 11% sell exclusively in person and 6% sell remotely. I'm going to dig into this in a little bit, and this is only because I of where I sit in my podcast and where in my company. Okay, so let's go. So most sales teams use an omnichannel approach for client and prospect engagement. Okay, let's look at this. So 98%, we're going to go from 98% to 11. Okay, majority of them use email. 88% marketing campaigns, virtual meetings, marketing emails. Here's something concerning. Towards the bottom, we have 67% use LinkedIn. 67%, that's it. 46% use text, right? And we still have, let's see, 75% of sellers doing in-person or walking the halls. We got to get away from this, my friends. It's such a bad use of time. And the other thing I would say is, like, yeah, okay, 98% of the industry uses email. Okay, not surprising there. How effective are they at using it? I can guarantee you not so much. There hasn't been a single company, I've talked to a lot of sellers, a lot of VPs, because every time somebody comes on the show, I have this conversation off air. They're not using any email tracking tools, so their sellers are sending emails. They have no idea if they're getting opened or not. Most, if not all, sales reps have never been trained on, like, how do you actually persuade through email? What's a persuasive subject line? How do you follow up thoroughly? What's too much follow up? What's not enough? You know, and so automation is an area that we definitely need to improve here. And again, like, you know, part of this is why I wanted to do this episode. Again, I want to see more companies in our industry using Clari. And, you know, again, you can go get get a demo with Clari. They've paid for their sponsorship. I don't get a dime from that. What I want to see is more commercial excellence. And, you know, again, the rep today is expected to do more with less. They have less time. They have larger territories. They have more accounts. They're expected to do more with less. Quota's gone up for everybody. But are we actually doing the right things for our reps, such as investing in tools that are going to automate data entry? Like, that's a very simple thing. You don't need to do a poll within your organization. I can guarantee you, anybody on listening to this, you go and invest on like a basic package with Claire, or at least the data entry side of it, and you announce it to the reps on Monday, hey reps, we got this thing that's going to automate your data entry into Salesforce. Every rep's going to love it, you know, because you're giving them their time back and they can spend it in a more effective way versus entering data. And they're not good at entering data to begin with. That's another thing that we haven't talked about. Reps are not good at entering data to begin with because they usually do it either at the end of the day or all at once at the end of the week. And we all know that the further away from the point of that data point occurring, you know, the further time that elapses, the more likely that your data, that what you enter is going to be off, right? And those things compound. So, you know, just in kind of wrapping up, they summarize their report by saying that sales teams don't operate in silos. So during a typical sales cycle, almost all sales teams collaborate with sales ops and operations, and approximately 8 out of 10 collaborate with marketing, the C-suite, sales leadership. Sales teams also collaborate with technical teams like the engineering team, finance, so on and so forth. As organizations streamline data collection, analysis, and insight sharing across functional disciplines, collaborative efforts become more fruitful. For example, it's easier to create targeted marketing campaigns with the right messages to the right audiences at the right times to generate greater awareness and boost leads. Yeah, I completely agree. And again, like, we don't operate in silos, but we still function like that. I think most sales reps feel pretty lonely out there because they don't get the support that they need, right? And a lot of times when they come to marketing or leadership, it's usually these like last second efforts where they're trying to get like some kind of resources that really don't make a difference, because those resources that they're requesting and getting approved for them are being determined by subjective measure, meaning that they're not being, it's not based on data. And then when they deploy those resources and it doesn't work, they don't get any further resources because they can't be trusted, because it, you know, they don't know what those resources are best used for, right? And again, just to kind of, this is kind of the end report. And again, you know, for those who are interested, just check the show notes below. You can download the report there. I highly recommend it because there's a lot of details that I kind of jumped over. Download the report, read it with your team, and have a discussion about it. But I think the main conclusion that I have from this is that our industry has a problem because we are not data-driven. We talk about being data-driven all the time. We're not, right? We're not making the investments in it. But consciously, we know that that's probably what we have to be doing because our forecasting is off. 20 to 40% of deals are not closing. These are all huge problems. I think it starts by better discipline when it comes to, you know, things like investing in automations and data entry, right? So that way we make the reps happier. And just that one thing by itself, right? Investing in being able to automate data entry for reps, right? Frees up 5 hours a week at minimum for those reps, okay? Plus, for sales leaders who love coaching, which I think coaching is an important part of any sales team, you're now able to have a more fruitful and objectively driven conversation on coaching with your reps that's actually going to help them. Nothing is worse than getting like coached in ways that are not going to actually help you, right? We don't live, you know, we're past the days of like the one or two call close, right? Our deals, whether it's implants or diagnostics or capital, are so much more complicated. And so using tools like Claire, I think, are going to make things a lot better. And I hope you know, for those who listen to this end, you're that sales leader who's going to take our industry to the next phase, right, of commercial excellence. You know, and it's not gonna happen by its own. I think there's a reason why I even took a sabbatical and went and worked in the software industry. I worked in SaaS, vertical SaaS, for a year because their sales processes are really on point. They're extremely data driven, and those are some things that we have to start doing better in our industry. Investors are expecting it. CEOs are expecting it. So with that being said, download the report in the show notes below. Go check out Claire. Get a demo from them. You'll learn a lot from their demos. Every time I sit on a demo, I learn a lot from them. You can learn more at Claire.com. That's Clari.com. For that, I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you for enjoying another epic episode of The State of MedTech. If you're feeling inspired and love this episode, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button and turn notifications on so you never miss an episode. And be sure to give us 5 stars and write a short review because that helps more people discover this amazing community of ours. If you're a company who has a executive that you'd like to be on the show, or perhaps you want to sponsor one of the episodes, shoot us an email at hello@khatibandco.com. Take care, and we'll see you next time.